Hi, welcome everybody. Welcome to Share and Jonah. So first, there's so much to be said about this parsha. I just wanted to share that I wrote an article on the Jewish Link last week, and the first submission of my article had 1,076 words. But then I thought it over and I said, too verbose, I have to really cut it down. I spent a few hours thinking it over and cutting it back. I ended up with 836 words, which ironically equals 240, the full number of the hostages. And at that time, we still were waiting word about the status of these hostages. And then I began thinking that Amalek is also the Gematria 240, and so is Suffolk, doubt, is also 240. So I started to understand that what this Amalek in our modern day has done, granted it's the largest catastrophe since the Holocaust, but this is something that's been done through the millennium. And unfortunately, they're doing it again, but this is not an uncommon practice. So when Yaakov was confronted by the same Sar Shel Esav, being Esav himself, as well as Sar Shel Esav in this week's Parsha, we learn from Yaakov how to approach. In fact, I heard a very interesting shiur that indicated that whenever in years past there was a need to discuss sensitive topics such as hostage negotiation and redeeming hostages and ransom amounts, our rabbis always turn to Parshas Vayishlach and Dishnei Mikra before they engage in any conversation. And I think that there's so much to be said about the way that Yaakov prepares himself and goes about his business. So the first thing is what I sent out before Shabbos, that he says to his brother that he has a Vayidi Shar Bechamar. We said that there's nothing really special about telling us about Shar Bechamar. In fact, most people had that back in the day. But he was really saying, B'char Shor HaDalo, I have a Yosef. He's going to unwind you, and he's going to take care of you. And then the Chamar refers to Yisachar Chamgorim. So I have future, it has been born already. That's Yosef HaTzadik. I have the moral standing and the courage to persevere during a time of darkness, together with the strength of the Torah, that there's nothing that can stop me. So it was a veiled threat. And as we go, you know, further in, we say, Vayira Yaakov Mod Vayitzalo, Vayachat Tzam Ashayto, he divided it. So in fact, you know, in generations past, there was always a division of camps. So we were able to continue to our modern day. We've suffered a lot, but we also understand that there was a separation between Eder LeEder, between one travesty and another, such that it is not all-consuming. We Katonti Mikola Hasan Mikola Mesa Sharasisi, but the Kiva Makli of Rati Sayadena is there. I tell you, the Shnei Machanos, he has this stick. It's interesting that this is mentioned here because this is the only thing that Eliphaz left Yaakov. He took all of his money and all his rechush, but now that Yaakov Avinu is going on his road, he only has this Makli, this stick. And Rashi tells us, Loya, Imi lo Kesef, lo Zav, lo Mikna, ela Makli lo Vado. So this is all that Yaakov Avinu had. And it really is fascinating because he says, what was he really concerned about? We know that from Esav comes out Rav Meir, from Esav comes out Unkelus, and from Esav comes out different, you know, tzaddikim along the way. So there was the concern that if you would take away Unkelus, who spoke in Ruach HaKodesh, and Rav Meir, who was, you know, a legendary leader of Klal Yisrael, we would be unable to have the Torah, the beauty of Torah that we have today. And so he says over here, he talked about this. The parsha is really, there's a lot of depth in this parsha, but unfortunately, there isn't that much time. But I wanted to just try to focus on that. He went back to the Pachim Kitanim. We know that Hanukkah is this week, and the word Pach is the Gematria 88. We know that on Hanukkah, we light 36 Neros together with the Shamash every night over the course of 8 days, total 44 candles. We know that when we light candles in this world, we are lighting candles in the world above. Not us, but the Neshamas of the Babas and the Zaydis and all the Tzaddikim, that they're sitting and basking in the glory of Hashem and enjoying the nachas that they're seeing from their children sitting and learning Torah, immersing themselves in Torah, They too are lighting candles every night, correlating to the way we light candles here in this world. Similarly, when we say Kol Nidre, they also say Kol Nidre. When we say Kedusha, they're also saying Kedusha, which is the reason why it's so important not to talk during davening. It's not that the Gabbai is being mean or he's not being nice. It has nothing at all to do with that. It has to do with the fact that you don't want to create static when you're communicating and connecting with your ancestors. Why would you want to create a squelch or a static type of communication when it could be very crystal clear? And they can hear everything that's being said in davening. They also hear the talking. So that's the reason why it's so critical. So he goes back and the Vayavek Ishimo. So firstly, why did he go back? He went back for the Pach and Katana. So we just said that the Pach is equal to 88. We just explained that what we light and what is lighted is equal to 88, 44 plus 44. We know that when we say Lahadlik Ner Chanukah, that's Rosh Tevos 88. Lamed Ner is Nun, and Chanukah is Ches. Lamed Nun Ches is 88. And if we look at the candles, all of the wonderful women that light candles Erev Shabbos, and this week we will light Chanukah Neros as well, we are required to look into the light of the candle. Mit Kiner Hashem Nishmas Adam, that we see in ourselves, our soul is kindling a light. And right now we have hostages that are in darkness and tunnels. And there couldn't be a greater analogy to try to lift up the spirits of those that are not close to us, but we feel the pain. And there has not been a night since October 7th when we have not been able to fully get a good rest, a good night's sleep. It's impossible. It's impossible for us to sleep comfortably when we know that there are young boys and girls and this 10-month-old Kfir Bibas, together with, you know, his brother Aryeh and his mother and men and the soldiers and the Chayalim and the Chayalot that are waiting, beckoning for a new dawn where they'll be able to see light. And so this light, obviously, so we say, Navshi Chaksa L'Hashem, that our souls are drawn closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That too is the Rosh Tevos 88. Navshi is Nun, Chaksa is a Ches, L'Hashem is a Lamed. So when we light the candles, we are kindling a flame. And by the way, this is a thought from the Kedusha Levi. So on Chanukah, he went back because of this, of these small little pachim that eventually was used to anoint David HaMelech, Shalom HaMelech beforehand, and Shlomo HaMelech afterwards, and all the malachim, until it was time for it to be hidden away and then to be found once more by the Chashmonaim. And he was attacked by the Sashal Esav. Chazal asked, why was he attacked by the Sashal Esav? Because he went by himself. Had he gone with company, he would have been protected. He should have taken with him Shimon and Levi, or Yehuda, or Yisachar. He should have taken two boys with him to provide Shmir L'Aderach. Because we say every Friday night, Ki Malach Yitzav Lach Shmarcha B'chol Yerachacha, that when we come home from shul on Friday night, we recognize and appreciate the escort that was provided to us by these Malachim. And we say, Shalom Aleichem, Malachi Hashares, Malachi Elyon. We recognize that there are malachim in our midst, in our presence. And that's when this Yetzirah comes along and starts fighting about who's sitting where and how come you didn't serve me the bread first and the challah was not hot enough or not cold enough. And everyone's fighting about something. But that's because there's tremendous kedusha in the room. So sometimes when that happens, I smile. And you just say, listen, it's okay. This is what's going to happen when you have tremendous kedusha. We're hoping that that is the same Kedusha that we're channeling over to our brothers and sisters held hostage, and we continue to daven and learn from them that we should only have a Yeshua. And then it says, Batika Kaf Yerach Yaakov. Why specifically Kaf Yerach Yaakov? And what is the significance of this? The Malach that did this injury unto Yaakov, we're not allowed to say the name. I actually found the name. But this Malach is known to create blindness. And so this is a malach that is not, that, like, why of all places? It could have injured Yaakov's arm, or one arm, or two, or it could have been something else. Why specifically one hit? And we don't even know what side, Kaf Yerecho. It just says Kaf Yerech Yaakov. It doesn't matter which side. The point is, that I saw in the Midrashim, and I can't remember which one it is, whether it's the Kli Yaakov or Haim, that there was a tafkid for the Sar Shel Esav to remove Yaakov's ability from enjoying this world. If a person is unable, metaphorically speaking, to go out and make a living, and you have to use your legs to do that by walking and plowing the land and, you know, harvesting the crop, and how is a person supposed to do anything when they can't walk? So if you can't walk, then what are you going to end up doing, Yaakov? What you enjoy doing the most, which is sitting and learning Torah. So then I'm doing you a favor. I'm helping you fulfill your own tafkid by staying home and your Dalet Amos Shel Torah. But no, you know, we see that the Malach doesn't want Yaakov Avinu to have a name Yaakov, which is rooted and grounded in the earth like a heel, sticks its feet deep into the earth and feels the earth, feels the ground, feels the soil. No, Shimcha Yisrael. You're going to have a name, Kim Yisrael. Why? Kisarisa Makim Batuchal. Bimam Shim Batuchal. That you were able to commandeer and persevere over God and mankind. He did it with the Esav. He did it with Lavan. You constantly persevere. This wasn't so much a bracha. Unfortunately, I don't have time for this. But this is not, whenever we receive a bracha from a Russia, we don't take it as such. We have to recognize that there's nothing positive about this. We're better off getting Musar and Tochacha from a Tzaddik than we are from getting a bracha from a Russia. But the point of the matter is that the word Yisrael is also Yasher Kel. This is how the Kedushas Levi teaches it. That you are righteous, you are straight, Yashar. You are straight with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And your tafkid is not to be involved in this Olam Hazeh. Leave that over to us. That's our responsibility. What he was trying to do was to debunk and to take away the bracha of Yitim Lecha. But what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell us in next week's parsha? Shimcha Yaakov. Your name is Yaakov, which is the reaffirmation by Rivka Yemenu that there is a purpose for Yaakov in this world to have influence. And the only way someone can have that level of influence is by having some form of Olam Hazeh as well, which means that we are able to daven early in the morning and then have a beautiful tefillin. We're able to have a little bit of Chetzi Lashem and Chetzi Lachem. The Chetzi Lashem and Chetzi Lachem, that is all from Rivka Imenu. That's my Chiddush tonight. If you want to just say Kulu LaHashem and Dal Amos Shel Torah, that would be what Yitzhak envisioned, because Esav is a language of Asu, to do. So they would be the ones responsible for building the planes, trains, automobiles, right? That funny movie. And Yaakov's responsibility would be to utilize those resources such that he's able to promote and advance and glorify the Torah itself. Right, Lahagdil Torah Ula Hadira, to enhance the Torah and to adorn it with, you know, chidushim and understanding, and that would be the purpose. Chazal also explained that the reason why he went back with his pachim katanim is to show that a tzaddik never steals. And if you think about it, there's not really a one-to-one correlation. But what it really means is that if you worked hard for something and you received a reward, that is value to you, because it's your value, it's your effort that resulted in that success. However, if someone receives something for free, then it becomes something that is dismissed or could be dismissed because it does not have any intrinsic value. And maybe that's where that term comes from. What is the intrinsic value? Who cares what the intrinsic value is? It's a value. What can I sell it for? That's the question that people ask. But here we're saying, this is something valuable to a tzaddik. He never steals. Why? Because every single thing that he is able to accomplish, he cherishes this so much that he would never even dream of taking something from someone else for free, which is essentially what you're doing. You're taking it away for free. And the tzaddik says, no. I value and I cherish. I can only do those things when I work hard to accomplish something. That's true in life. That's true. That's a message for, that's a timeless message. So, I see that I'm a little bit over, but I wanted to, again, close out with this idea that we've been discussing, about the power of Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu says later on in Parshas Yishlach, right? So Yaakov, he says to him, you want it, you can have it. I don't need it. I have everything I need. So what is Esau's response? No, you keep it. You know why? Because this bracha of Yitin Lecha that I was so aggravated and upset that you took from me, I understand that I could never have been able to manage it. You managed it. How did you manage it? You gave tzedakah. You gave tzedakah, katonti b'chala chasadim, right? That's one explanation. You gave tzedakah in order for shalom b'kufa, shalom b'taras, shalom b'mono. You gave it back. And the bracha of Yitin Lecha Elokim, it should say the Yitin Lecha without the word Elokim. It should just be of Yitin Lecha. The infusion of the word Elokim means, as Rashi tells us, if you're Raya, you get the bracha. If you're not Raya, you don't get the bracha. And then the question is, who is Esav looking to determine the credit worthiness or the, you know, the just the simple worthiness? It's Reshes Goyim Amalek. He's looking at his leader, Amalek, and he's asking Amalek, is this something that we would want to do to give our Bechir HaChavshes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? No, says Amalek. We don't care about these things. We have karma. We have doubt. We infuse the world of Yaakov with doubt. And our challenge in this difficult situation, this unfortunate matzah that we find ourselves in with Hamas, the Nazi Hamas people, is that they are infusing doubt. And our greatest weapon is Hakol Kol Yaakov, is the voice that we bring into the shuls, the Batei Midrashim, and we affirm that there is no doubt. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the show. He is Ma'orer Esenayim. He's waking up our inner souls. People are lighting candles now. Maybe some of them are lighting it for the Chayalim and the Chayalot and for the hostages. And some of them are just taking on Shmiras on mitzvot. This is not the way that we would like people to take on mitzvot. But people are doing these things. They're lighting candles. They're lighting candles before Shabbos. And we're hoping that between all of the tefillos and all of the rachamim that we can muster for these individuals that are still stuck, that they get freed immediately, and that we only hear besuras tovas going forward, and that there should be peace among all of us and amongst all Klal Yisrael and amongst the entire world, and that we should learn to have av of achlov shalom v'rayos. Wishing you the very best. Have a successful and a bracha-filled week.